Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to Awakening to Miracles. I'm your host, Sherry Lane, and I thank you for being here today. Just preceding this show, I was very frustrated with technical things. I guess I'll just chalk it up to Mercury retrograde because that makes me feel a little better. I had a lovely audio to share with you from my friend Charlotte Phillips, and I'll just go ahead and tell you where it is online, and I'll post it on my Facebook fan page, but it's called On Wings of Love, and if you go to YouTube and search her name, Charlotte Phillips, then you'll see several of her videos and her art that is put to music and to video, and it was really appropriate for the show, and I promise I will get it figured out so that I can have it as the lead-in music, but I thought I had it all uploaded, and when I got into the studio screen, I clicked to test it, and for some reason it was still playing the other one, and I don't know what I did, but I'll have to figure it out later. I was scrambling frantically before the show. But I will get it on there. It was one of those little synchronicities, though, how it kind of came to me about, I don't know, a week and a half ago. I was thinking that I would just love to have some original music, and it just felt like angels talking to me, and I remember just having this feeling like, oh, okay, the right thing will come along. And it was just like the next day or two that Charlotte posted her video. It's a song that she wrote in a moment of deep connection to angels, and her husband, who is a musician, put it to music, and Charlotte is an artist, and she's a self-taught artist, so she put her images, she just paints from the heart. She has a page called The Art from the Heart, and she put it to the images of these lovely angels that she paints, and many of the recent ones have been inspired by children, child angels. And so if you go to the YouTube and find her, the On Wings of Love video, then you'll also be able to connect to all of her other sites with her artwork, and I think you'll be inspired. I actually, in my little studio area, my little cubby, I have some of her art and art of one of my other friends, Carrie Joy Burns, artist, and you can find her on Facebook and connect to her things, but they both inspire me so much, and those visuals can be so important. I think right now at this time we're in a phase where all of the senses, the visual, the audio, and the feelings, everything is enhanced, and when you can find ways to communicate and bring messages through all of those different avenues and join it together, I just think there are tremendous things vibrationally that can happen. So, Charlotte, I apologize that I couldn't seem to get it running today, but I will do that, and I do hope people will go to your YouTube video. I will post it on my Facebook fan page, which is called Seeing Miracles Every Day. If you have not joined that, I would love for you to join it. It's just a place for light-seeking souls to join together, and we go through the ideas of A Course in Miracles. I post the lesson from A Course in Miracles each day, but it's not just limited to talking about A Course in Miracles, other positive thought that's related to that, and I share things every day, and other people converse and share things as well. So it's just a wonderful place to join and make that kind of connection. And I deeply believe that when we make that connection in our hearts, it doesn't matter if we're completely across the world, that it's important. It's that space of wherever two or more are gathered. And it doesn't have to be in a building. It doesn't have to be in a church or a temple. It just has to be in our hearts, because that's our true temple. Anyway, that's where God is. So do join that page. It's also where I do most of my communication, announce the upcoming shows or anything else that I'm doing. So it's just where I touch base about everything. So if you like this show, please do join that on Facebook. Again, it's Seeing Miracles Every Day, A Course in Miracles. So if you just go on Facebook and you search for that page, it'll pop up for you. Okay, so now I'm getting out of my frantic mode that I was in for the 5 minutes preceding the show, trying to get that thing reloaded. And I'm going to try to focus back on the topic for today. The topic came to me this morning. If you've listened to the show before, that's how I usually do it. I will just find a peaceful, quiet time in the morning of the show, which it's usually on Tuesdays that I do this show. Not always, but that usually Tuesday afternoons, or afternoon for me. Depends on where you are, whether or not it's afternoon for you. But the topic usually just comes to me in the quiet moments early in the morning, and I post it, and then I don't do a lot of note-taking or planning or laying out the show, scripting or anything like that. I just let it come through me once I start the show, and at times that makes me really nervous when that little countdown on the timer is on saying when the show is going to start, and I'm thinking, what if I don't have anything to say? But I've really come to peace with that I am allowing myself to be a vessel for messages to come through. I'm not going to be caught up in how long the show is or how short the show is. I block out the time for it, and if it ends early, it ends early, and I don't try to fill it just to fill it. So that's what this space is about. I usually block out 2 hours for it. The show usually lasts somewhere between an hour and an hour and a half, but there have been times where it went the full 2 hours and I barely fit it in. So a lot of it also depends on callers. A big part of this show has been to allow people to call in, and I try to give them the messages I see for them in this moment for their best spiritual path. And I always tell people I'm not a fortune teller. What I see for each person that calls is your best spiritual steps right now. And it comes to me in kind of an unusual way. It's like charades. I think it's Spirit's way for condensing a lot of feeling that goes with the messages, because that Spirit is about heart and feeling. And so when they're able to condense it, and then I can interpret it, and then it is amazing how little silly images will make sense. So when you call, I ask just for your first name. I just like to connect that way. If you don't want to give your first name for some reason, if that makes you feel too vulnerable, you can give me a different name, or you can just say I don't want to give my name. If you give me a different name, though, like a made-up name, let me know that, because if I get this vibe of just something not right or not, then I don't want that to get in the way. But our call-in number is 347-633-9823. I usually just take the calls in order. So if you want to call and get in the queue, I'm going to discuss some about the topic, and then I'll lead into the individual calls if there are any calls for readings or discussion. So again, 347-633-9823. Okay, the holy instant. A Course in Miracles speaks of this holy instant. It's sometimes called the void, and it's where all peace and joy is yours. I think we have different levels of holy instants at many times, but for many of us, there is one overwhelming, profound moment that we know without a doubt is our big holy instant, and where we're connected with God. And once you've had that kind of moment, it never leaves you. And you may leave it because you live in this world and there are always things that pull us back into this world, or always things we have to deal with that really aren't very connected with God or very related to the truth of God and love, but we still have to get through them on that day-to-day basis because we do live here. So once you've had that holy instant, you remember it, and you're always wanting to get back to it deeply again. And that was at least my experience. Many people have their holy instance as a result of some illness or near death, and many of those encounters are very similar in the peace and joy that's felt. And other people, like me, don't have that "I almost died and my life flashed before my eyes." I had it in a waking normal moment, but I did, my whole life did, it flashed before my eyes, and the best way I can describe it is like the old Rolodex files for phone numbers and contact information, which are kind of archaic now. That'll be chalked up with one of those things like typewriters that our kids have no clue what they are. But it was just a series of flashes and images that also went with deep feelings, and so many unrelated instances of my life were following each other, and in that moment it was just like a tapestry of perfect. I could see, how they all fit together, even the things where, you know, it felt like somebody really just kicked you really badly and did something really unfair, and yet it would, in that moment it's like, now I get it. Thank you. I see why I needed to experience that to get me to this other thing where I never would have gotten. And it's just beautiful and perfect, and it's like laughter, and it's such a happy moment I can't even put into words. So this has been on my mind a lot lately because, for one thing, I wrote about some of that in my book, Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles, but I was a little reserved in it even, because I couldn't find the right words for it, and there were some things so precious to me that I wasn't going to put out for anyone else. And I'm kind of revisiting and picking up writing again in a deeper way about it and my experience during it and after it, and what past life brought me, and some of the obstacles that I think we almost always encounter when we have those deeply spiritual times, because they just don't fit well with the world and what other people around us think or expect. So we have to kind of find our path and navigate it. It is like a navigation sometimes. Sometimes you're just avoiding the icebergs. But I'm writing probably a little more deeply and getting a little more raw about it. But I recently read, and I haven't met her, but I read Anita Morjani's book, Dying to Be Me. And I had heard of her before I can't remember if I maybe met her when I saw Wayne Dyer at one time a few years ago in person, and she was like his guest, and or if it was on one of his PBS specials. But I had heard her tell some of her story, but I had not read her book. And what struck me when I heard her tell her story, it vibrated something in me, and it was just so much of a yes, yes, yes. So much of it was, even though hers was more of a near-death experience, she had terminal cancer and was literally at the last stages of life, they were calling in family because there was no way that she could recover from it. And she had this near-death experience where she went to the void and where all was so peaceful and happy and joyful, and she knew she was fine. She knew she was no longer ill, and she had the choice of staying, because it really was not her time to die, although she could have died, from the way I understand it. That was part of a choice for her, and she chose to come back because she hadn't really fulfilled what she was supposed to do here, or what she had planned to do here. And she came back and brought her story and had just vivid recollection of what was going on in this time when she was in a coma, and also the wisdom of the void, which is God. At least that's what I call it. There are a lot of names for it, and I think it depends on your religion and your what areas of spirituality you've studied. I personally don't think it matters what you call it, and that's why actually the void can be a really good name, in my opinion, because it's a place of emptiness but fullness at the same time, and the emptiness, that willingness to just have a clean slate and let your idea of God or spirit be given completely new. You don't bring anything there with you that says, no, God has to be this way because that's what I've read all my life, and the Bible says, and this, and, you know, I was told this when I was a kid, and I believe it. You don't take any of that there with you. So it is this void of preconceived notions. And when you can get to that emptiness, and I say that kind of, if you could see me, air quotes, it's not empty at all, though. That's the paradox, is that when you allow that clean slate, it's open for the trueness of God, the feeling, the all-encompassing power. And that was so much what her experience was. And her upbringing was Hindu, but she had also attended Catholic school, and so she knew, you know, both stories. And she had that same feeling, like, it really, it doesn't matter what you call it, it doesn't matter what path, what matters that is that you have this love for yourself and you see your own perfection, and from that you also shine out and see perfection in everything that happens and every person, and you realize we're all one, and in that oneness is where God is when we love one another. So I would recommend her book highly. It's Dying to Be Me, Anita Morjani, and her name is spelled Morjani, and it's on Amazon, or she has her own page as well. So that's why that has been kind of in the back of my mind, is a really important topic, and how do we get there? You know, you're going through your life, you go to work, you do your job, how do you get to that place of the void without having to have the absolute knock-me-over situations in life, the brokenness, I'm on my deathbed and I'm having a near-death experience. How do we get there? And I think there are ways to get there without the trauma, or maybe the deep, deep struggles of disease and problem after problem. You know, although, you know, the people in life that experience deep difficulties, Eckhart Tolle speaks of it as the pain body. People with a heavy pain body often are the ones that have the biggest spiritual leaps. I think now we're at a time vibrationally where so many people are shifting into a more open-mindedness about spirit, that maybe we don't have to have the pain body to have that path that beats us there, beats us down to where we are empty, and then we can get there. I think that we can invite it. And yesterday on my Seeing Miracles Facebook page, yesterday morning I was kind of in this, I've got so many things going on, and I've got two different books I'm trying to work on, and I'll get inspired for different ones at different times, and I feel like I'm just back and forth all the time, and then I'm working on this other thing that I'll tell about later before the or remind people about later before the show closes, that is an energy healing online workshop, and it's free, that I want to provide, but it's a different system of energy healing, and that I've been inspired to share. And so I've got all these different things, and then, you know, yesterday audiobook, and putting my current book on audio, you know, also that just came to the forefront for me, and I was just feeling all this pressure and putting pressure on myself. And the voice I heard, it's a Lao Tzu quote, and it was, "Nature does not hurry, yet everything is accomplished." And that gave me such peace. So remember that. I just had this feeling like, relax. You don't have to rush. It's all going to happen. You just plant the seeds, sit back and nurture them. And so for me, so many times nurturing them is slowing down, and it doesn't matter if I feel like I'm ADD or I'm not completing any one thing, I'm scattered all around. That's how I work best. And so many, I feel like so many messages are coming through me that I just have to be calm and let the loudest ones come through when they want to come through, and not try to force it to the other book or the other subject or the this freestyle, free flowing. And so I would say, for one, if you want to start working your way toward that void, find those moments of peace where you try to just let go. Empty, don't be worried about things. And I know that's easier said than done, but I believe if you take deep breaths and you ask, that you get a connection, and you just allow stillness and quiet. I believe if you really want it, things will appear for you, and you'll get signs and you'll get messages. It may be a book that you keep hearing about. Someone says, oh, you should read this. It may be a song that keeps coming up, and there's a message in some of the lyrics of the song. A certain line stands out to you, and you can explore from there. If you do want to seek that void, that truth of all that is, that truth of God and Spirit, if you ask for it and you really want it and you allow space for it, and you're willing to let go of the things you've always thought how God had to be, then I know you will get there. So you have to just allow it in those little steps. And there was a question that came up on the page yesterday after that quote about nature not hurrying. And someone posted, but how does one achieve that in a job where you're required to work at a very fast pace? And that's an excellent question about, but I live here now. I live in this world right now. My spirit may be able to go elsewhere, but my body's here, so I have to have the job and the income. And that's very, very true. And that's all part of our experience and path as well. So what I would suggest in that situation is, you don't have to bring it to your job right away. Bring it to the rest of your life. So when you go home, find ways to simplify your life so that it's not as rush as your job is, because you do have more control over that. And if you begin to do that, and you allow time and space and quietness, and you make your spiritual journey a priority, then you may even find that when you're at work, you'll be in a zone where you'll be working at the same speed, but it will feel calm and slow, because time is really just a teaching tool. We need time, and we need things to be linear in this existence here. But the closer we get to spirit, the less we are slave to time, and the less time even matters. So when you do that in the time that you can manage and control, then you'll go to your job, and I think the odds are strong that you will feel a different pace, even though you're getting just as much done. And from that place as well, you may be opened up to a different job that's calmer. So just take the steps. Every time you take a step, whether it's listening to a show like this or calling or reading, when you take the steps and you in your heart say, yes, I want more, I want to see that truth, I want to see the void, I'm willing to lay down my previously held views, you will get avenues to do it. There is no doubt in my mind. I promise you, if you are open to it, you will, and you'll be amazed at it. You'll be in awe when you have those moments, those aha moments that speak to you, and you know it's coming from somewhere else that's leading and guiding you. Okay, I've got there are a few more things on that topic that I'll probably talk about later in the show, but I'm going to go ahead and take a call and get that started. Had to take a little water break there. First call is from area code 410. When you hear the voice say unmuted, a computer voice, you'll know you're live. And if you just give me your first name and if you have a question to ask, and I'll try to get messages for you.
Hi, I'm Cindy.
Hi,
I'm
Cindy.
I'm calling from Maryland.
All right. From Maryland. Do you have a question today, Cindy?
I don't really have a question. I'm just pleased and appreciative that your Facebook post came through today and I'm able to join your call. I'd just like to have a mini reading, if you could.
Okay, yes, absolutely. I already got an image for you. First off, how's the weather in Maryland? Is it getting warmer yet?
No, we got some snow this morning, but it's supposed to warm up by the end of the week.
Okay, well, I'm in Cincinnati right now, and it's been cold, 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 and snow after snow. But we have sunshine, and things are melting, and I think it's coming your way.
It feels
like spring here today, even though it's not all that warm, you know, when you've been really cold,
yeah.
All of a sudden 30 degrees feels warm.
Yeah, right.
But the image that I saw for you, and it's kind of fun, it was a Cracker Jack box, and gosh, I haven't seen one of those in a long time. I guess they still make them, I don't know.
Yeah.
But do you remember the Cracker Jack boxes and the little surprise?
Sure.
That you would, and so I interpret that as very, very positive, and like there is some pleasant surprise that is imminent for you that's coming, and so you should go ahead and be excited about it and thankful for it, and kind of childlike in that. Remember how that used to be, that silly little Cracker Jack box, and the prize was always, it was like a little, I don't know, little folded up piece of paper with a joke in it or something.
Yeah,
sometimes.
Right, comic.
But we would get so excited. It felt so good to just open that prize, and that's the excitement I want you to feel, the anticipation of something really just awesome is coming. And you know, it also, Cracker Jack is a, you know, and those surprises, it's a good way too to, when we're children, we do get excited and so happy and grateful about the tiniest things, and we sort of lose that as adults. We lose that wonder. So be in that space of wonder for all the little things, and laugh about them, smile, notice them. And as you do that, that is bringing on this new surprise, this new gift to you, that it's very, very close. It's coming. And so let yourself stay in sort of that state of wonder and gratitude for little things, and notice them as if you just pulled them out of a Cracker Jack box and you're so excited. Life gives us so many of those things, but we get in such a hurry that we don't always notice. So start noticing them, and also just start being open and allowing for some bigger excitement or gift to come your way, because I feel like it's very, very close.
Okay, thank you.
Is there, now I'm trying to put, it's like there's a question there that I want to ask you, but I can't quite put, is there something about someone close to you that's troubling you? Feels like there's something maybe lingering. I don't know, someone ill that's close to you, or are you distanced from someone that maybe you wish you're reconnected with?
Yeah, well, my daughter lives out in L.A.
Okay.
So, you know, one of my issues is that I, you know, worry all the time, and I try to say to myself, let the universe take control. You know, I cannot be in charge of everything. You know, she is old enough. And just this morning, I was in my worry state, and then I heard this, you know, give her some credit. She is old enough, you know, to take care of herself.
Oh, it's so hard. How old is your daughter?
She's 24.
Okay. It's so hard as a mom to let go of the mom role, and my sons are around that age, and it's funny that you say that, because I don't know, I guess it was maybe yesterday, maybe the day before, the lesson in A Course in Miracles was about there's nothing to fear, and it's funny because last night, I had all of a sudden in the middle of the night, I was having these just frantic dreams about one of my sons. It's also far away. He's in Florida. And yeah. It wasn't anything in particular. The things I was frantic about were just, now that I look at it, were so silly.
Right.
He just recently moved from his little apartment into a house. And, you know, so he needs some furniture and things because furniture that worked in his little tiny studio apartment don't work anymore. And so he's kind of been looking, you know, for that. And I've been helping him a little bit, the Craigslist stuff. But some of the things I was worrying about were just so silly, like, you know, he needs a sofa. Yeah. How's he going to get this?
Right.
You know how that dream state you just get, and it's just ridiculous, but in the dream, it seems like it's important, and, you know, like you're climbing and climbing and climbing, and you just can't get there. So in the middle of the night, I recalled the, you know, there's nothing to fear. And I just said that to myself several times, and I went back to sleep. It was like at 3:30 in the morning, and I went back to sleep, slept very, very peacefully. So find some of those, you know, phrases or mantras like that, like there's nothing to fear, or like you said, like you're already realizing that your daughter, give her some credit, she's fine. Right. She's fine and capable, and when you have those moments of panic or worry, say it to yourself, because it's really more about you or me,
right,
as the mother, feeling like they're still helpless, and they're not, you know, so, right. Find, you know, have a little phrase that you're ready to say to calm yourself down and just feel peace about it, and feel excitement for her and for her journey and the things that she's going to encounter, and it's a good thing. And I think part of the Cracker Jack box message too is, as you let go of that role, other things are going to come for you that are just as exciting. And so don't spend your energy worrying about her. Spend your energy being ready to let those seeds grow and to have those surprises open up in your life. Okay?
Okay.
So
right.
It's very, very positive imagery and feelings for you. So just be ready for it. You're stepping out of the old, you know, the more demanding role of mothering, and now you're kind of setting her free, but at the same time setting yourself free. It's a whole new you. You're still who you are. You're still her mother, but there's a whole new chapter for you, and it's really fun and exciting. So,
okay. Thank you.
Peace in that. Okay. Thank you for
you.
Your. All right. Bye bye.
Bye.
Okay. Oh, that was a fun call. Remember those Cracker Jack boxes? That's how we need to treat life. Every little thing is, can't wait to get that prize that we know is in there for us. I remember those, and I'm 50, so these are all things that, you know, when I was little were big, big things. I also remember loving these bars of soap that had some kind of little prize in the middle of them, like, I don't know, like a little animal trinket or something. And I don't guess they make those anymore. It's been a long, long time, but I remember that. And, you know, the clever thing was that it made kids want to wash, because it took a while to wash the soap bar down to the point where you got to the prize, although my older brother would just whittle it away. So maybe that's why they stopped making those. Maybe parents got a little annoyed that they'd buy soap and it would be whittled away. Those were some fun times back in the late 60s, early 70s. Okay, I'm going to go back to the subject of allowing the holy instant. Thank you for that call, Cindy. The call-in number is 347-633-9823. And I have a couple of other little stories that I thought, if I have time, I'll share with you. One was a little conversation I had this morning on Facebook with a friend, and she had a post from this book. She posts every day from Jesus Calling, and let's see, the author's name is Sarah. I can't think of her last name, but it's Jesus Calling. You've probably seen it. There are many, many of them out in circulation. And it's a great little daily devotional book. Each day she gives insight to some biblical reference and And it's just always very nice, very uplifting. And my friend posts that or shares that every day from the book. And I think that was the conversation it was on. But it led into another little dialogue about that she was asking for some prayers for a friend, just anonymous, not anything real specific. But she shared that she had lit 2 candles for her friend that was going through a hard time, and, you know, prayer candles, and each of them had 3 wicks, you know, the candles that have 3 wicks. And so she lit 2 and lit each of the wicks, so that was 6 wicks lit in the 2 candles. And she did this yesterday and today. And the first one, when she lit it, it was to represent Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And then, and that was what each wick represented in that one candle. And then she lit the other one specifically for her friend, for the family. And I don't know the details. I suppose that maybe the what's troubling is has to do with her friend's family. And so she noted that the second candle that represented family and had the 3 wicks, both yesterday and today, the 3rd wick just went out. It wouldn't burn. And the funny thing was that you could say, well, it was just a dud wick, obviously, but it was different candles. So it wasn't the same candle that just had a dud wick, and the same wick, not the same one, a different one, but it was in the second candle that was about family. And the Father, Son, Holy Spirit candle, all 3 wicks were burning very brightly. She even put a picture on there to just show the difference. The family one was, even the 2 that were burning looked like they weren't burning as strongly, and 1 wick was entirely out. And she, my friend, you know, posted, you know, something of how, you know, was it coincidence, and it related. And the first thing that came to me was, and I think my friend felt that there was something there she needed to let go, or, and that's exactly what came to me, that there's something about that to do with family. If the family candle, you know, that candle represented family, and one flame kept going out, that perhaps it was that she needs to let go of something related to that. And you know, so I had a little dialogue with my friend. I don't even know who this person is, and she said, yes, that's what she was feeling, and she's going to share that with her friend, and she thinks it's very related. And she and I both sort of had this aha moment that we were getting the same message and same feeling at the same time about the meaning of it. And, you know, God speaks to us all the time. Spirit speaks to us when we will stop and listen and realize, instead of just saying, oh, no, that doesn't have any meaning, that's just coincidence, or no, that was too much to be just coincidence, and there is meaning there, and I know that it applies for this person. And it's about, so much of our journey is about letting go and knowing when to let go. And I think it's so very hard, in especially family situations or close friends, when you have to let go, and maybe you have to walk away from the situation. And when I go back to my peaceful, holy instant, the void, everything was okay, but I could also see the things that were intended to be important to me and the ones that were not. And there wasn't any animosity toward the ones that were not. It was just truth of needing to move on, or it not being important in your path. So we get caught sometimes in duty of what you're supposed to do, or you're always supposed to hang in there in certain relationships. And sometimes you are, and sometimes you aren't. And sometimes it will drain you and keep you from your spiritual purpose. So you have to go within, and you have to look for signs. But if you ask for them, they will be there. You know, it may be a friend that lights candles for you and then notices something and shares it with you. That's how spirit can work. It may be someone who says something else in a different way to you that is pretty much exactly the same message, but, you know, nudges you in that way. And, you know, spirit isn't just like the movies, the loud booming voice that, you know, Moses heard. it's in subtle ways and in not so subtle ways. It's in everything. And I find so many times that the very subtle ways are the ones that knock me over even more, because I would have missed them if I hadn't been in tune. And there might be 10 simultaneous subtle things, and it adds up to that loud boom. So look around, ask for messages, and ask that your spiritual ears and eyes be open. You'll be amazed at the things that will happen. I've had things before, shortly after that awakening void that I had. I could walk in a bookstore, and I swear books would jump off the shelf at me. And it would not be just the same ones, like the bestseller. It was sometimes rather obscure and odd topics, and I could pick it up and flip through it and flip to a paragraph that, oh my gosh, that exact phrase keeps coming to me in a song. And you can follow that trail that way, those little clues, and put them together. But when you're ready, and when you ask for it, and when you're willing to clean that slate and say, I will let go of my notions of what spirit wants and what spirit has to be, and I will set God free. That was the topic of my book. That was the title. That who am I to decide that God is this and God is only this? How dare I, really? We have to set God free, and in setting God free, we have to be willing to say, well, what if there's more than what my religion taught me my whole life? And I really believe, and there is truth in that. I was raised in the Christian faith. I still believe it's wonderful in the message of Christ of loving one another. There isn't a better message in the world. And, many of what we consider the great masters, that really is all their message was about. It wasn't about a congregation and a church and joining and giving and tithing and doing good deeds. That's not a bad thing, but the message was really about loving one another. But when I can take a step beyond my religious viewpoint and what really was taught to me, and I can say, would I believe that entirely and exactly the same if it hadn't been taught to me? Would I come to that on my own? So I'm going to have the faith to let go of that for a while, be empty, and say, show me the way, show me the truth, let me see it. Let me see it with my spiritual eyes and my spiritual ears. I don't want to just believe something because someone else told me. I want to feel it. I want to feel you, God. Let Spirit work through me. Let Holy Spirit come to me with the holy instant. Let angels guide my path. One of the most profound messages I've had was during my holy instant. And my holy instant, when my life passed before my eyes, that lasted, I don't know, maybe, well, the initial part of it was just probably a matter of seconds, and then, but then I was in this flowy, I can't even explain it, wavy, filmy, delightful zone for hours, and it didn't really end for about 2.5 weeks, where I was really, really just on cloud nine, and all the knowledge of the universe, everything just seemed obvious to me. I knew things that I had no business knowing, that I hadn't studied. I understood things that were very, very deep and scientific and, related to physics that I, in my normal self, I haven't studied that. I don't understand that. But I knew it. I got it. I could read it and say, oh, yeah, of course. But I was just in this euphoric state. During the course of a couple of weeks that I went through this, just every night my dreams were intense. I mean, so real and visual and angels. I mean, detailed, big angels just around me, talking to me, giving me this knowledge, showing me these giant books, which, you know, I realize now are what are referred to as the Akashic Records, you know, which is just symbolic of all this knowledge of the universe. You know, we have to see things in symbols, like books, knowledge. And that's the symbolism that it was. And one of those nights, I would be awakened almost every night at 3:33, and you know, I later studied that and what, you know, or I looked into that and what that means in like angel numbers. Doreen Virtue's done a lot of that. And one of the nights, the message that came so clear to me and so loud and so insistent was, well, let me tell you how it came to be. How I woke up at 3:33, and that had been happening for a few nights, and I was awakened because at my bedroom door, the door was open, but in the vicinity of the door was a very distinctive knock, very distinctive knock, knock, knock. And I sat up, and I was in the middle of this dream, the vivid dream with angels, and they were showing me these big books, and they were all around me, and it was so perfect and wonderful, and all I wanted to do was go back to sleep. I want to go back to the dream. I want to go back. It's just like I say about the void. We just want to stay there. And so all I could think was, I want to go back before this dream ends. And you know how you can go right back to sleep and fall back into the dream? That's what I was consciously thinking. No, I got to go back to sleep. But this knock was so loud, and this energy so compelling that was drawing me, like, no, you need to listen. You need to listen. And I'm thinking, no, I want to go back to sleep. Hurry, 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 go back to sleep. And, you know, this voice just couldn't be denied, even though it was kind feeling. And but one of the things I noticed as soon as the knock happened is beside the bed, and I was in the house all alone, you know, my kids were off to school, my husband at the time, and we're now divorced, but he was traveling. He traveled a whole lot anyway. Even when we were together, we weren't together a lot. But so I was in this empty house, which was good for this, because a lot of it probably couldn't have happened had I not been alone. But my yellow lab, who, she was aging at the time, and she had some arthritis, and, you know, when she was younger, she used to get up on the bed with me, but she couldn't really do that very easily anymore, or, you know, so she would just choose to sleep beside the bed on the floor. And the bedroom was carpeted, the out in the hallway was hardwood floors, and when that knock happened, my snoozing dog that was all curled up comfortable and old, and in that exact instant, she got up and walked over to the doorway and curled up in the doorway, half on carpet, half on hardwood floors. She would never have gone there to lie down, ever. And she curled up and gave this most contented sigh, just... And this was a dog that had, you know, severe hip dysplasia and arthritis, and she was so pulled to that energy, and so was I, but my brain kept thinking, I just want to go back to this wonderful dream of angels, it's so happy. And so, you know, my conscious brain, the knock had been so distinctive that I got up, you know, because I was hearing, pay attention, but I got up like, okay, I'm going to make sure somebody's not at the front door of the house. And so I walked to the front door. Of course, no one was there. And I walked back. And as I walked through that doorway, I mean, I had to step over my dog, but I could feel just this energy. But I kept, and I'm still trying purposely to stay groggy because I want to go back to that dream so badly. And I just kept hearing, this is important. Write this down. Write this down. Write this down. This is important. Write this down. And so I had a pad and pencil by the bed because, you know, I had heard, you know, have that there for dreams and they can have meaning, but it was very rare. I don't know if I had ever actually written anything down in the middle of the night like that, but I had the pad and pencil there. And I mean, I scribbled it out, could barely read it the next day, but it was, the angels can only lead you in the direction of your divine plan if you follow. Your bliss cannot be wrong. And that's what I wrote out in the middle of the night. And then I went back to sleep, and I went back to the angel dreams, and it was wonderful. And it wasn't until midday the next day that I went, oh my gosh, I wrote something down last night in the middle of the night. And I was all excited, and I went to read it, and I you know, it was scribbledy, so, but I could make it out, thank goodness. And it's something that I forget sometimes, but I try to remember as much as I can, because angels will lead us there. Part of how we know it's spirit sent and heaven sent is that there will be bliss, and your bliss cannot be wrong. Do not get stuck in the misery and the heaviness around you. You have to pay attention to your bliss, because that is what is leading you back to God. And we live in a world that loves sometimes suffering. And I think it has to do with our unworthiness. And we feel like if we suffer enough, we'll earn our way back to God. That's not God. Now, suffering can humble us. Suffering can get us to that rock bottom emptiness, kind of like disease. Disease can lead you back to God, because you start to realize what's really important. So I'm not saying that suffering doesn't lead us back to that place, because ultimately everything that happens to us leads us back there. It's just a matter of, do we want it to be the easy way or the hard way? And I think now more than ever, because so many people are connecting in this different vibration and really, I think, getting it that love is what God is, and loving one another, that it's becoming easier and easier to just say, I'm ready, and raise your hand and be ready and get the moment without the deep suffering, without feeling like we have to earn our way back, or that suffering is going to make us more noble, or martyrdom is going to make us more noble. I think we can just say, I get it. It's about joy. It's about love. Yes, pick me. I'm here. I'm ready. So many times when you make those leaps into joy, you actually get kind of resentment. That was my experience. I mean, there were people that were so attracted to it and so attached to it and could see it and feel it and just being around me. But I also found, and it's usually the people closest to us, that, you know, there was some sabotage going on, and, you know, like, I don't want you to have this joy and happiness and other people noticing that you're wonderful and light, and I don't want that. Well, that's those people stuck in their suffering. But because they're choosing to be stuck doesn't mean you have to be. So always listen to your bliss, no matter how silly it may seem. You know, if you're excited about something, if there's a song that you like and it makes you happy on the inside and the outside and you like it, but everybody else thinks it's stupid, so what? You know, just like it and enjoy it and sing it. And don't listen to the naysayers, because sometimes they just don't want you to have that kind of joy because it scares them, because they don't know how to get to theirs. And that's not a reason for you staying there. It's not a reason. It's the crabs in the pot syndrome is what I call it. You know, when, I hate to use such a an awful sounding image, but, you know, when crabs are cooked and put in the pot to boil, and the water starts getting warmer, you know, there will be a crab sometimes that'll crawl up over the other crabs, try to reach the top, and will actually be crawling out. And the tendency is for the crabs in the pot to yank that crab back in, the one that's about to get out safety, saying, no, this is not where I want to be, boiling in this pot. And so much of life can be that way, particularly the people close around us sometimes. They're the very ones that you think, oh, they love us, they should want the best for us. Sometimes they're the very ones that, because they just can't get out of their own stuckness, that They'd rather have us stuck with them than let us go blossom and be joyous and whole. But not only do you owe it to yourself to step beyond that, it's the only way, really, you can help them out. You aren't going to talk them out of it. You aren't going to drag them out of it. They have to be willing, and you're in a much better position by just being your own light to help them out of it anyway. In the end, that's the only way to really help others. It's through our own light. And it's far less about doing and much more about just being that light. So those are the things that when you have those deep aha moments, those some that knock you over, the void, that's what it is. And that's what you know beyond any doubt. It's a feeling that is so unimaginably peaceful, and you feel peace even... You even have peace about, you know, bad things in the world. You just understand that it's not real. Only love is real. And so we think we see it because we collectively create all these atrocities. And we, over and over and over, we view them and dwell on them and have pain in them. And, you know, I'm not saying don't feel compassionate, but what I'm saying is ultimately they're not real. Only the love behind, you know, sometimes those tragedies bring out love. And so it can be a mechanism to get there, to that place with God and that pure love. But they wouldn't be necessary if we would just get there without them. If we would just believe and have the faith and take that leap and say, yes, I want it. I want joy, and I'm willing to leave misery and suffering behind, whatever form it is. I am willing to leave disease behind. I'm willing to leave mourning and sadness. And, you know, I am willing to let go of those and feel that joy, because I know that joy is what is calling me back to God, and I will follow it. I'll follow that bliss, and I'll lay down my preconceived notions of what God has to be, or how we have to get there, or how we have to earn it. I'll lay that down just for a bit and leave that opening for God, Spirit, Holy Spirit, angels, all to surround me and lift me up and take me to that void. Take me to that place where everything's perfect, and I'll never forget it. And I'll share it by sharing my light. That's what we all should strive for. And it's not even hard if you're sincere in wanting it. You know, after my experience, like I said, I'd never forget it. But I won't lie, I had the normal kinds of struggles, you know. It was at a time when the economy tanked and, you know, my income suffered greatly. I was even in negative income there for a few years because my income was from some real estate and rental property that I had, and we all know what happened there, and I had those struggles. I had unbelievable family issues to deal with, and extended family, and just, I mean, even tragic, absolute heartbreaking, and the kind of things that it's like, can you not see where this is leading? Are you in that much denial? And knowing what was coming and trying to stop it. And it can be especially hard when you have visions and things, and you have a vision of something like that and you so badly want to stop it. And you try, and sometimes maybe you are able to get through, but when you can't, and you just have to watch the train wreck coming and watch the train wreck happen, that's the hard part. But the only way you bring the light is that you keep taking that next step forward. You keep remembering that moment of truth, and you wade through it all, and you let go what you have to let go of. No matter how many people try to make you feel like garbage for it, you have to stay true to God and your path, and that's how you wade out of it. That's how I did, and how I navigated through it, and it's brought me back here to feeling that feeling so often, that I'm so grateful, and I can share it, and hopefully it helps other people begin to feel it and find ways to feel it. I've gotten lost in rambling, and I'm going to take another call now. It's area code 949. Just let me know your name and if you have any specific question.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. Oh, say that again. I had a momentary little lapse in the connection.
My name is Ann.
Ann, hi.
Hi. I just wanted to comment about what you just discussed, because I just recently had this experience, and I wanted to kind of collaborate, you know, what you're saying about being able to go into this void and the holy moment to get the answer to something, because I had this conflict in a business situation. And, you know, we had started this business and was all, everything was beautiful. You know, I had the confirmation of the bliss. My inside was just all like champagne bubbles.
I
knew
feel
it was right. And then I began to get the reports of the conflict. So I... between two of the people, and they were the two main people, and of course any kind of success has to be grounded in, you know, if any two are gathered, you know, as a that spiritual principle of the agreement of two.
Right.
I get from your that you and I perhaps have the same background.
I think so.
So anyway, you know, once I began to feel this conflict between the two main people that had to be in an agreement, then it was like, oh my gosh, you know, we've got a problem here in this business. So I prayed for that, for clarification.
Okay.
And
so
I could hardly believe it, and to have you sit here and talk about it on the air is just such a thrill to me, because the answer I got was, there is a third person undermining agreement between the two, and he is undermining the one person, because that one person is making the other person in the agreement happy. And it's going to interrupt their misery together.
Okay, let me stop you just because you hold your thoughts, because I don't want to get, I don't want to be like accidentally duplicating what you're saying, because I think if I give you what I'm seeing and I start just kind of then we're probably going to be at a similar place. So I don't want, you know, your thoughts to get it confused. What I saw, at the time it was just when you were saying your name, and so the quick little vision I got for you, and it's really cool how, you know, then when you started telling the story, I was like, okay, I can see. I saw a bucket, you know, like just a normal pail, and I was confused at first, because it was like I was seeing things go in and then go out and then go out and then go out and then in and in. And I couldn't, at first I was thinking, now what does this mean? Does it mean her bucket is being filled up or being emptied, or what is going on? I don't know what this means. And so I just let it sit, and then you started talking and it all made real sense. And before you really even got to, you know, the conflict of you've got the three people and the battles between, I could feel deceit. There was no truth from some part of it. And I wrote down, was one stealing? Was someone taking from, or was it more of an energetic, like, sapping? Because I don't know if there was there, I guess it's a business, there was money involved. Was there any deceit over the money, like stealing or anything like that?
Well, you know, I don't want to think that.
I think there might be, or might have been. Now, it could be, and I always, you know, try to qualify, because, you know, from spirit speak, money really doesn't mean anything. you know, taking from doesn't have to mean money. It can mean energy, and really energy is worse. You know, when you're drawing away energy from something, basically like sucking the life out, that's really even worse, even though in our world, you know, it's those black and white, you know, things that we kind of focus on. I feel like in part of the dynamic that there was not truth, there was a lot of fear and, you know, feels kind of like deceit. What sort of business was it?
You know, I don't want to
continue
with this discussion.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Is it something I said, or?
No, but I don't want to.
You don't want to reveal, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or. Okay. No, that's fine. I didn't know if I said something that offended you.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Well, I certainly hope there wasn't anything I said. Could be a situation of just not wanting anything to be revealed. I'm not really sure there. But okay. Anyway, I'll get back to, let's see, we're about or a little over the hour mark, which is usually about the duration of the show. I don't have any more callers right in this instant. So if there is anyone out there that has been wanting to call in and has been a little apprehensive and wants to call in now, I'm going to stay on just a little bit longer. The call-in number is 347-633-9823. And let's see, what was I going to get back to? Oh, real quickly, if there aren't any more calls, a couple of other things I wanted to touch on today, and I'm just rambling all over the place. One of the things that, the ways that I find, or the ways that void, that touching God moment, one of the things that for me prior to that, you know, I had read a lot of spiritual books. I was going down that path spiritually. You know, I was stepping outside of just religion and seeking more. And there were several authors that I was really drawn to and that really touched me in those moments. And the right words came to help me take another step, and open my mind in a greater way. And so I was very much aware of A Course in Miracles before that big aha awakening moment. But whenever I would pick it up, it, you know, it's like thousands of pages and it's confusing. And when I would pick it up, I'd just like, you know, because so many of these spiritual authors that I loved and was really getting meaning from would refer to A Course in Miracles. So I got the book and it was just like, you gotta be kidding me. I don't know what this thing is saying. But as soon as I had that aha, big time awakening moment and span of time, I just had this nudge to go back and dig that book up off of, it was a high up shelf because I never accessed it. And I opened it up and every single word made total sense to me. And even now, I mean, it's seven, eight years later, even now there are times where, you know, to understand and comprehend A Course in Miracles takes work. It feels like work because we're so bombarded with so many messages of the opposite, you know, in the media, in our life, in what people say and how people think, and, you know, the world's not very miracle-minded, and it all made sense to me. So I actually came to A Course in Miracles the opposite way, having that moment of all knowing and all knowledge and carrying enough of it back with me that I could open that up and it was like I could have written it myself. Yep. Oh, yes, this is saying exactly what I felt. That tells you the volume of what you feel in that void and that awakening moment. It's all-knowing, and so if you pick up A Course in Miracles and you think, oh my gosh, that's what that moment, just the moment, you don't have to toil through. You don't have to do all the lessons, although, you know, in this world, I do them now because I want to stay in that place of miracles and believing and understanding them. But one of the things that stands out to me, or that recently has, you know, I've had another little aha when flipping through or reading A Course in Miracles, is that the miracle should not inspire awe. Only revelation should inspire awe. And that is exactly what that moment was. Revelation is truth, that moment of truth, that touching God moment, that being completely one when you know everything. Revelation means getting revealed to you. It's revealed. So that revelation, when you know, and it's, oh my gosh, I get it. That is awe. The miracle should be the norm, but we've gotten it so backward here. So when I've done Reiki and healing work with people, there have been some really things that are kind of hard to comprehend in this world, you know, those instant healings, and so much of it is about the person's readiness and the faith surrounding it. I believe in the power of prayer, the power of energized prayer, and I am a Reiki master. I also, you know, just practice in general energy, healing energy that just comes from my heart and love, and being a vessel for that divine flow through my heart and out through my hands. And so, you know, spontaneous healing would sometimes take place, and it was always really cool and a celebration, like, oh, yes, the person that was in end-stage kidney failure is now perfectly fine. Doesn't need dialysis. Kidneys are functioning fine. It was a celebration, but it wasn't so much awe, believe it or not. It was more like, of course. Of course that happened. And that's what A Course in Miracles means, that miracles are what we're supposed to have all the time. All the strife and disease and all that, that's from our ego and our mind thinking and our fears and letting them take hold, like with that other caller, you know, like the anxiety in the night. And that's, you know, we have the reverse of miracles. Miracles are where things flow and synchronicities and everything comes at exactly the right time. And we let go of our disease or our problems or our struggles and just let spirit handle it effortlessly. So that is in our spirit state, that is the norm. So we're not in awe, even though we might celebrate it. And in our brain, our mind that lives here in this world, we might go, oh, holy crap. but in our hearts, in our spirit, we know, of course that happened. That's what faith is. I already knew it was going to happen. And if the receiver knows it or has even the tiniest little opening for that kind of faith, then, you know, as Jesus said, the faith of a grain of mustard seed, you'll move mountains, you'll be healed, you'll heal others. Tiny faith. But the awe comes from those moments of truth, deep truth. And suddenly, you're the smartest person in the universe because you're one with God, and God is all that is, and all the knowledge. And raise your hand spiritually and say, yes, I'm ready. I want it. Ask for your eyes and ears, your spiritual eyes and ears, not your body eyes and ears. Ask for your spiritual eyes and ears to be open, and you'll begin to receive. You will. If you mean it and you want it, you will begin to receive that. And it will give you joy. It will make you laugh, some of the funny ways that messages come through when spirit gets to you. When my moments of being most connected, I just laugh hysterically. And there's so much joy in it that it does bring about laughter in the body. And I want you each to have that. and maybe you already have it, and just keep at it. Keep feeling that joy. Keep following the joy. And that way we'll all just shine brighter. And when you shine brighter, I shine brighter, because we have entered each other's path. And that means we've accepted the connection to light. And so when you shine, I shine. When I shine, you shine. The Christ in me sees the Christ in you. And the Christ in you sees the Christ in me. The love in me sees the love in you. The love in you sees the love in me. That's what two or more gathered means. And that's where miracles happen. That's all that can happen, is miracles. And that true connection. So I'm going to wrap up today's show. I'm going to play my usual audio. And this was brought to me right before the show. I just found it very spontaneously. And it was in this public domain situation, so I could use it. And I love it. But next week I want to get you my friend Charlotte's music on Wings of Love. And her name's Charlotte Phillips. If you go on YouTube, you can find some of her videos that have some of her art, but it also gives you her web page and those kind of connections. Her beautiful, beautiful angel art. And the music and the words to this song are just beautiful. So I am going to do my best technically to get that situated for next show. But I will put it on my Seeing Miracles Facebook page, so go on there. I'll put the link there. And just to wrap up, let me do a little housekeeping and remind you of a few things. Yes, I am working on, and I have made great progress these last few days on the Angels Touch class that I'm doing. It's an online class. It's about energy healing, healing from the heart and love, the laying on of hands like Jesus did. And it's something that I've been sitting on for years. When I had my awakening moment, these things came to me, and I just knew that you'll know when the time's right. And it's energy work, a lot like Reiki or healing touch, but it's just something that symbols and images and words that came to me in that time, you know, sort of like a new avenue to bring that energy into the world. So if you would like to participate in that, you can email me at sherrylane444@gmail.com, and just be sure in your subject, because I get a lot of emails, to put Angels Touch class or anything like that, angel class. And that way, when I get it all ready, I can sort and get all of the people that are interested in it. You can also learn a little bit more about it on an old website that I have. It's angelstouchtherapy.com. And if you go there, that will also give you my email. So if you just remember angelstouchtherapy.com, you can get the email. And it also tells a little bit about the class on the front page. But also through the different pages on that website, you can kind of learn a little bit more about the energy and sort of what you'll be participating in if you want to participate. So again, that's angelstouchtherapy.com. And let's see. I also always like to remind people of my book called Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles. I told a lot in the book about my journey and that void awakening moment. If you'd like to read that or even just read a free excerpt, go to Amazon.com. They have a little feature, look inside this book, so you can read, I don't know, a chapter or two and see if it calls to you. It's available in hardcover, in paperback, and also in the Kindle version, and that is right now 99 cents, the Kindle version. So if you have a Kindle, it's real easy. Push a button and get it. And if you don't have a Kindle, on the same page of ordering the book, over to the right, there's something you can click on to get an app for Kindle, so on your smartphone or your PC, so you can read it right on your computer or on your phone if you don't happen to have a Kindle. So 99 cents, but you can check it out and read part of it for free just by going to Amazon.com and typing in Setting God Free. It'll bring up all versions of the book. It's also available on BarnesandNoble.com and, let's see, Books A Million and most of those sites, but Amazon's the only one that has the the ebook version available for Kindle. So Setting God Free, Awakening to Miracles, check it out. And if you have read it and it meant something to you, you know, I get emails a lot, and it's very touching to me because sometimes in my journey I think, why have I done all this? You know, but keeps me going when I know that, that there's some phrase or something that, that means something to someone and wakes them up in a new way, and they see something fresh. So if you have had a good experience, I would so appreciate it if you would go on there and do a review. If you absolutely hated it and you still want to do a review, at least be kind in your not good review. But you know, luckily I've heard good things from lots of people. So so if it's been a good thing for you, I would love to have that in a review, because that helps other people understand whether or not it would speak to them. And lastly, again, my Seeing Miracles Every Day fan page on Facebook. It's worth it. 177,000 light-minded souls. So nothing but good can come of that. So please click on that and like it and join in the conversation. Thank you all so, so much for being here today. It's been a great show. I'm exhausted. I've talked to myself like crazy. But I thank you for being here. And most likely I'll do the next show next Tuesday afternoon, so you can pay attention either on Blog Talk Radio on my show page or on the Seeing Miracles Every Day Facebook page. Thanks again, and I'll play my usual angel audio. Listen to it and let it lift you up. Let it be a minute and 53 seconds of meditation for you. Have a good day.